Praise the Lord for that song. That's a great song about the cross. And as the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, I don't want to focus on anything except the cross with them. He wanted to keep the cross foremost, because the cross is the place where the giving was done. The cross is the giving place, and the cross is the getting place. The cross is the place. And tonight, I'm continuing my messages through the book of Proverbs, powerful principles from the Proverbs. Tonight we're in chapter 11. And amongst all of the wisdom we find in chapter number 11, tonight we're going to look at three verses, verse 24, 25, and 26. And tonight we're going to talk about the gift that keeps giving. The gift, as I said, the cross. That's where God gave His best. Aren't you and I glad that God is not stingy like many of us are? That God did not hold back from us, but delivered up His own Son. Romans 8 says, if He delivered up, gave us His own Son, shall He not also freely give us all things? He's given the greatest gift. Everything else that He gives us cannot measure up to that great gift. And thus, when He saves us, when He changes us, when Calvary touches us, when Calvary makes that transaction real in our life, doesn't it stand to reason that we would then be giving people? People that would freely give. Jesus told His disciples, freely you have received, freely give. Why do we struggle with that? Why do we have a hard time being free in our giving? But we just struggle in letting go. You and I need this tonight. You and I need to hear the wisdom of God's Word about the gift that keeps giving. The gift that we have received, He is in us. We have received the gift of God, which is eternal life. We have received the unspeakable gift that Paul talks about in Corinthians. And we should be keeping on in giving, keeping that giving spirit that has affected us, that has changed us eternally. Now God says that we, as His children, as we are walking in His ways, we should know that principle, that saying that Jesus reiterated there in the Gospels. We should have it to heart, not just in our head, but to our hearts, when Jesus said it is more blessed to what? Than to receive. Most people don't have a problem receiving. But we have a hard time giving. And Jesus done told us it's more blessed to give than to receive. Hence these words of wisdom tonight. Look at what it says in verse number 24, 25, and 26. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is upon the head of him that sells it. Now, Lord, what does these verses mean? Help us, Lord, to be able to extract from these words of wisdom that which will help us tonight. Would you bring to our hearts and minds truth about giving? Help us to see it from varied angles. Help us to meditate in this truth tonight, so that when we leave here, we will have been enriched, changed, more generous we will be, more liberal in our giving we will be. I ask this in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. The gift that keeps giving. Wouldn't it be sad if the gift that we have received and have within us stopped giving and did not make a contribution to this world any further? But we would become the one who would be the Dead Sea Christian. The Dead Sea, no life can live in it. No fish can live in it. The Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea because nothing can survive the extremely high mineral content. You know why? Because all the Dead Sea does is receive. It does not receive or does not give out for others to receive. Everything that comes in stays. And what a picture that is of many Christians, that they receive the gift, but that gift does not keep on giving because of a stingy, miserly heart that you didn't get from God. He always has generous hearts. He always gives generously. So if we ever have a miserly, stingy heart, guess where that comes from? It doesn't come from God. It comes from self. It comes from sin. It comes from Satan. I don't want to be like him. I don't want to be like the destroyer. I want to have a giving heart, a loving heart, a blessing heart. Three things that we see here in these verses. In fact, I'm going to give a point for verse 24, a point for verse 25, and a point for verse 26. There'll be three points tonight. First of all, I want you to look with me at the pair. Look at the pair that is mentioned in verse number 24. Two people are mentioned. Two examples are given. One is positive, one is negative. One you should want to be like, the other one you should not want to emulate. Verse 24 says, there's one, he gives freely. Yet it's strange. He grows richer. He gets rid of, he gives away, but yet it keeps coming back to him, is what it's saying there. But the other person that make up the pair, another, he withholds what he should give and only suffers want. It only tends to poverty. Now, this does not figure in arithmetic. You know, everything that you can put a pencil and paper to mathematically doesn't fit in God's scheme of things. Here's a man, the first one mentioned here, subtracts, gives away. But the bottom line on his ledger is he's getting more. That doesn't make sense in this world. It doesn't make sense in this world's thinking, but it does make sense in God's arithmetic. On the other hand, the guy that is the negative example, he doesn't subtract. He doesn't get rid of. He doesn't give. But yet he's got a leak somewhere in his account because it gets less and less and less, till it tends to poverty, to where he is suffering want. Can you and I tonight consider this pair? Think about this pair. It goes against our reasoning. It goes against logic. It goes against arithmetic. But this is truth. God promises that if we give, he will give back. Ask the farmer. The farmer that is plenteous in sowing seed and the farmer who says, man, that seed cost a lot of money. I don't want to be throwing too much of that stuff out there. Now you would say, he is foolish. He is plain foolish to be thinking like that. Because what does the farmer know? The farmer knows that a seed that you buy or you have invested in getting, that seed, you got to give it away. You got to be willing to let go of it. You got to be willing to plant it. You got to be willing to cover it back up. You got to be willing to let go. And what's the result? One grain of corn going in the ground brings a stalk. And on that stalk might be 10 or 12 ears of corn. And every one of those ears of corn got 40, 50, 60, 70 grains on each ear. All of that came from getting rid of one little grain. That sounds pretty smart. To give it away. And here it comes back to you. But oh, not with Mr. Stingy. Not with the one who withholds. Not with the one that says, I'm not going to give. And his coffers get emptier and emptier, and his stomach gets emptier. His bank account gets emptier. And as a result, he plays the fool. The other guy plays the wise man. So, verse 24, do you see the pair? The positive and the negative. Which one are you going to be? Look secondly at the principle that is mentioned. This is verse number 25. Here is a principle. Now you know what a principle is. A principle is a guideline. A principle, according to the dictionary, is a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as a foundation for a system of belief or a behavior or for a chain of reasoning. A principle, which the book of Proverbs is full of principles, a principle will guide you through any type of situation. A principle is good back in Bible times. It's good in up-to-date times because principles never change, because principles are eternal. Principles are God's nuggets of truth. Now here's a principle mentioned in verse number 25. The King James says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Reading here in the ESV, it says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched. Most of us today don't think it's a blessing to be fat, do we? We don't think in terms of maybe third world countries where you don't find fat people. You find people malnourished and skinny, because they struggle to get the necessary things. In other words, food is not abundant like it is for us. But there, when it says the liberal soul, that means the one who brings blessing, who is free with their blessing, that person will be enriched. That person will be blessed. That person will receive. That person will be made fat. Or that person will have more than enough. That's the principle. That principle applies to you. It applies to me. It even applies to the unsaved person. Yes, even to the non-believer. Principles that unsaved people follow generally will receive the benefit of the biblical principle. There are unsaved people that have learned this, that it's good to be liberal with your giving, with your money, with your materialism. But it is a cancer to keep to yourself those things that could benefit others. That's the first part of verse 25. The second part of verse 25 says, and one who waters will himself be watered. And this is just reciprocal. You find it all throughout the Bible. A person that shows mercy shall have mercy shown to them. A person who, as it says here, waters and blesses others will themselves be watered at a particular time of need. So here's a principle. Try this principle out if you've not already done that. I know that I'm talking to people tonight that you have lived according to these principles many, many years. You are giving people. You have learned to give. You have learned the truth of that which seems to be nonsense to the world. But no doubt there are those here tonight that you struggle with this. You have not yet learned to let go. You still have that clenched fist mentality. You know how that they catch monkeys in certain parts of the world. These monkeys that are nuisances in certain places in Southeast Asia, especially in towns. I mean, you're overrun with these monkeys that are a terror to the tourist. And people trying to eat things on the streets. These monkeys are all over the place. And they're, you know how they catch monkeys? They say that they'll take a coconut and they'll drill a hole in a coconut and put some things, some nuts or something maybe shiny inside of that coconut, and that the monkey will reach inside. And once he grabs hold of that, which he knows is in there, he can't get his hand out of the coconut, and he ain't going to let go. So he would rather be caught, and he is caught, than to let go with what is in his hand. That is a picture of many of us. That is a picture of human nature. But there's one more thing here in this simple message tonight that I want you to see in verse number 26. And I want you to look at the prince who is mentioned. Do you see there the prince that is mentioned? You don't see his name mentioned. You might need to think about it for a moment, but there is a prince that this applies to. Can you think of who that prince was? What was his name? Say it out loud.
Jesus.
All right, not Jesus. This person was a type of Jesus. Who? Joseph. Joseph. The prince of Egypt. What was it that got Joseph out of prison? It's being able to interpret the dream for Pharaoh. What was Pharaoh's dream? He saw seven fat cows, and then he saw seven skinny cows, malnourished cows. And it drove him to wonder, what does this dream mean? And of course, Joseph was taken from prison because he interpreted the dream and told Pharaoh that that dream speaks of 7 years of plenty that is coming, followed by 7 years of famine. The famine would eat up the plenty. And so you know the story, how that Joseph, who was a blessed man, he was set in charge, second in the land of Egypt under Pharaoh. And what was his whole plan? His whole plan was to build granaries, to stock up the grain, and to keep it just for Egypt? If that's what you think, then you're missing the whole point. God saved His people, Israel, because someone was willing to sell the grain instead of keeping it and hoarding it. You know, some people, when they get a commodity and the world is in need, they want to hoard it. They want to monopolize it. But if God blesses you or blesses me with something, do not hoard it, but be willing to share it. And there's nothing wrong here with it saying that they sell it. Because remember what Joseph's father told his brothers to go to Egypt, because there was a famine in Israel. Go to Egypt and buy grain. And that was the whole means of the Jewish people being drawn to Joseph, who was a type of Christ. And they were saved because of the blessing that was given to this prince named Joseph. Verse 26 says, the people curse him who holds back grain. But a blessing is upon the head of him that sells it or shares it or makes it available. I like that part. I want to grab a hold of that part where it says the blessing is upon the head of him. Because that's what I want to get from this. I want blessing to be upon my head. I want favor to be upon my head. So the moral of this story is, when we look at this pair, we see the wisdom of giving. When we look at this principle in verse 25, we see the wisdom of reproduction and giving in order to get. And when we look at Joseph, if there's one thing that you could say about Joseph, it's he was a blessed man. Blessing was upon his head. Everything he did, he was blessed. What is God saying to us tonight from this powerful principle of Proverbs 11? He's saying to us, be givers. Don't let that gift that you've received stop giving, but you let that gift keep on giving. Just like you heard this morning, the Hardens, missionaries to India, who were with us just a couple of months ago. A man that has an MBA, Masters of Business Administrations, who was a high-powered accountant, making big money with a big, beautiful house and living the American dream, answered the call to give it all up. And when we sat with him after church over here at the McDonald's in Byron, and we're talking with him, of course, I like to always ask the missionaries, these young couples, what about your mom and daddy? And some mamas and daddies, they have a hard time about letting go of my grandbabies and letting go of my kids going to the other side of the world, to India. Would you give up your kids? Would you give up your grandkids to obey God's call? But one of our young couples in our church, that night that the Hardens were here, wrote out a check for $1,200 and said, whether our church supports them or not, I want to give this to them, to support them for at least the next year, $100 per month. Now, they could have used that money. They've got a young family. They've got needs. But do you think I tried to talk them out of it? Because I know something. They're on the right track. God will not allow generous, liberal-hearted people to be disappointed and to go without and not be blessed according to the promises of His Word. And don't get me wrong, they weren't giving to get. They were giving because they wanted to have a part and an investment in that young couple going to India. And fruit will abound to their account for every person that is touched, reached, saved, blessed in India. So what is it that God's speaking to you about? What is it that God is telling you? Maybe you're not even tithing. Maybe you're not even giving any to missions. Maybe you're not doing anything but saying, I can't do it. I can't. You don't know the bills I got. Well, you need to get your pencil, get your pad out, and do some of God's arithmetic. And it might be that you find out the reason you're in such shape that you're in is because you've been figuring it all wrong. Learn how to do math God's way. Let's pray.